the question we always like to ask here on RadioValencia.fm. Was that it?
I wasn't paying attention.
Was that it? Closing out that set, we heard Cry from the Street by David Gilmour.
Is that all there is?
Yes, is that all there is? Off his third solo album, 1978. Before that, we heard from The Kinks, Dead End Street. We also heard from 10cc, The Wall Street Shuffle, which is such a weird, weird song. And I enjoyed it.
10cc is a weird band. And they've got like 30 albums in England, and they're popular in England, and they're basically just this chugging boogie-woogie rock band.
So 10cc, The Kinks, and XTC, who we all heard from, you know, we heard from them in this show.
Throughout the day, yeah.
They're not super groups, right?
No.
But they're groups that consisted of a bunch of different spin-offs and also had a ton of different members coming through.
Well, not The Kinks.
The Kinks did have had a couple spin-offs.
So XTC had Shriekback, which is one of my... I like them so much more, but the keyboard player had to bail out of XTC because he's like, there couldn't be two songwriters in that band. You had to have Andy Partridge, who was the main songwriter, and me, and I had to go off and do my own thing. We couldn't... So he's only on the first two records, but then he went off to do something way better than XTC. Who was the last band?
10cc, XTC, and we did The Kinks. Who else were we talking about?
No, 10cc,
David
Gilmour, Bowie. Godly and Cream were in 10cc, and they went on to actually become famous music video directors.
Lol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Godly and Cream, yeah. But I don't... The Kinks are just two brothers, so I don't really know what spinoffs. You could educate me.
I'd have to go back and look it up. These were just my show notes, Maldor. I love that you're trying to call me out on things. I'm just trying to play a good show here.
Maldor says,
I know too much more about music than you do. I am a walking encyclopedia for every genre and subgenre that ever existed.
Ray and Dave Davies are the brothers in The Kinks. They were the original Oasis. They hated each other. They fought on all
the
on
original
stage
Oasis
all the time.
Stuff. Yep.
But they're both great songwriters, and they really only work together. I don't know anybody else who was ever in The Kinks. They obviously have a rhythm section and stuff, but I don't know anybody else that ever... I'm sure there are people in The Kinks went on to work, but I don't know anything about them.
And so, opening up that set, we also heard Made of Bond Street by David Bowie. I would like to move on from the set. I really enjoyed my music. I hope you did, too.
It was all right.
I appreciated DJ St. G popping into the studio. I think it's super fun making, like, that she's making this, seems like this big
effort. I'm
curious
as to the outcome.
I am too.
I don't think she'll get back in time, but I do want you to text her and be like, are you alive?
Right, yes.
Are you at the bottom of a well?
So usually what happens is she comes over it used to be the Maj Mahal, but now it's Grey Gardens. But we can talk about that later. I assume you know what Grey Gardens is. The documentary from the 70s about the mother and the daughter that live in this incredibly beautiful house of curios, but it's very strange. Very strange. Okay, good. All right. Anyway, point is, usually DJ St. G will report back to Grey Gardens, where I live, with whatever... Like, I get to hear about all of her meet and greets. I've already heard about all the previous ones.
Oh, this wasn't the first.
Oh, no. No.
Have they all gone swimmingly? This is a question for her, really.
Yes, of course. But because she's a consummate storyteller, I just want to hear. She's so good at telling stories, and I love to see who she interacts with and comes across.
Yeah, Chelsea Handler's funny, too. sorry, that I amused myself.
I could try to find that clip for you.
Yeah, let's not.
She's like, what's going to happen on the coffee date? She's like, take me for vodka. You know, that was 20 years ago, too.
Okay. Oh, shit.
What do you have lined up for us on this hour, possibly last Sunday? Okay, you know what? Just continue to look to the heavens.
Can you hear my eyes rolling around in my head?
Ekphrasis. Hey, word on the street is that Maldor has a new segment, and I'm so excited about it. Is it actually going to happen?
I should do that.
You should do that.
I'll do that after this song.
Come on.
I'll do that after this song.
Okay.
But anyway, this is Hope Street by Stiff Little Fingers.
On The Care to Catastrophe, RadioValencia.fm.
to the Wellingtons.
I want a job, I want a job, I want a good job, I want a job, I want a job that pays.
This is Maggie's theme song.
Son. You'll enjoy it more.
And just do eyes.
Now we do heroin.
It's shite being Scottish!
I want a job, I want a job, I want a real job, one that satisfies my artistic needs.
I hate it when we're Nazis.
All right, that's part of the new intro. This is Bullshit Maldoror Watch This Week, which I hope to be 60-second film reviews, although I'm pretty hard to keep everything under 60 seconds for me and my babbliness. So this week I watched Superman, the new James Gunn Superman, and everyone is raving about it, and I thought it was just okay.
Go on. 60 seconds. Go on, Maldoror. You've got this.
You know, James Gunn is a funny filmmaker, but this just wasn't as good as Guardians of the Galaxy, which was kind of an original blast. That was great. This was like, okay, same guy made a movie about Superman. All right, it's fine.
Was it as funny as Guardians of the Galaxy?
No, I mean, it's definitely got funny bits.
Charming?
It's charming. It's fine. I give it a 3 out of 5.
Continue on. What's the other bullshit Maldoror watched this week?
Well, the rest of it I was going to rant about how Zack Snyder, who does he blow in Hollywood that he has a career? Because that guy makes the worst fucking movies. And he made all the previous Supermans. He's all trying to be all grim dark. But it just kind of gets into how DC Comics are idiots and they're run by private equity and they don't understand what makes things entertaining. In the 80s, Frank Miller did The Dark Knight, and it was all grim and dark, and it was a different way of telling the Batman story.
Grim dark.
Yeah, grim dark. And they think, this is what sells. But then they gave the fucking franchise to Tim Burton, who was a goth guy, so he got the dark, but not the grim. And he made those horrible goddamn movies.
Just goth.
That then got, like, totally derailed by Joel Silver, who made the gay Batman with nipples movie. And finally derailed that whole franchise because DC are idiots. But then they gave it to Zack Snyder. The problem is these movies make money. They make a ton of money no matter... there goes my 60 seconds. They make a ton of money no matter what happens. They make a ton of money because people want to go see these stories from their childhood, and they're excited to see them, and so they'll make billions of dollars whether or not they're any good. And so,
are the stories still the same as those that we remember in childhood, or have they become something different in this modern?
More or less. Something I really expected about the new Superman is they don't waste any time on backstory, and he's already hooked up with Lois Lane. It's like they don't deal with any of that shit. Just like, and off to the races, which I thought was great. I mean, it's fine. It's an enjoyable day at the movies. Just DC being run by like a corporation, they don't understand what makes these things fun and creative. At least they've hired someone with a sense of humor now instead of fucking Zack Snyder, who sucks. Probably someone very important.
Thanks for joining us for the very first installation of Maldoror's brand new segment.
What was it calling? Oh, Bullshit Maldoror Listen To or Watch This Week.
Only on RadioValencia.fm.
Well, yeah, that would be great if I had anything else queued up, but I...
No, I'm just saying, you could... I mean, we could still... you know what? You don't look to the future. For the listeners of the future.
So our regular listeners will be unsurprised, but... well, actually, will be surprised, because I was trying to pre-prep this segment this morning.
Trying.
And I looked at I thought it was 10 in the morning, and it was 11 in the morning, and I had no time.
It sounds like you were trying to discern the clock, dude. Like, there was no... effort in pre-prep. You saw the clock and you said there's no time for a pre-prep.
And so I kind of half-assed the intro segment.
Nonetheless, you still brought a brand new segment. I think this is fantastic.
And I made a note or two about how much I hate Zack Snyder. And anyway.
Which you elucidated perfectly on air multiple times.
Anyway, this is Radio Valencia.
.fm.
And this is Bobby Womack.
of a fight, doing whatever I had to do to survive. I'm not saying what I did was all right. Trying to break out of the ghetto was a day-to-day fight. Being down so long, getting up didn't cross my mind. But I knew there was a better way of life, and I was just trying to find. You don't know what you do till you put under pressure. Across 110th Street is a hell of a tester. Across 110th Street, pimps trying to catch a woman next week. Across 110th Street, pushers won't let the junkie go free.
Street. I started out feeling skeptical about this movement, and I think there's still work to be done making sure it's as inclusive as it needs to be, among other things. But I've been watching it, and I've been going down there, and I have to say it is an inspiring scene, and I think they are getting a lot of things right. And when it comes to the core of it, the goals and the messaging, I think Occupy Wall Street is dead on. I think it's every bit as specific as it needs to be, and every bit as non-specific as it needs to be. It's just specific enough to capture that basic sentiment so many people share, and it's just vague enough to let many different people come to it with many different shades of that sentiment. And as it keeps growing and coalescing, if certain people keep on professing not to get it, those are probably the people who weren't supposed to get it. And that is what I love most about Occupy Wall Street. As a media person who loves to watch how we communicate in that sphere, I love Occupy Wall Street for how it manipulates all the news media's biggest cornballs into outing themselves as cornballs. I love watching them go on and on about how they have no idea what everyone's protesting. I love watching them pretend it's just a bunch of hippies who don't matter because they don't dress respectably. I love how when it gets too big for that, they start saying it doesn't matter because it's a bunch of yuppies who do dress respectably. I love when they say it's off the mark because the financial sector is mostly in Midtown nowadays. Like you really can't comprehend that this is about what Wall Street symbolizes. I love when they say it's off the mark because we should be protesting Washington, as if the symbolic symbolic Wall Street's undue influence on the symbolic Washington hasn't been a running theme of this protest from the start. I love this whole spectacle of everyone scrambling and scraping for ways to pretend that something serious isn't happening here. It's like a big game show where everyone competes to see who can build the biggest straw man. And it's not only fun to watch, it provides a valuable service because it reveals to us all who the ringers are at Wall Street's three-card Monty table. Back in the 80s, I bought all my vinyl at a place called the Music Factory in Times Square, so I used to hang out on that block and study how the three-card Monty games worked. And as you probably know, every three-card Monty setup has a ringer. The ringer's job is to pretend they're an objective outside observer commenting on the game when they're actually a part of the hustle who's there to help bamboozle the public into thinking this game is legitimate. So naturally, if we stand next to the game and start telling everyone that the game is rigged, the ringer is gonna flip on us and start doing everything they can to make sure nobody listens to us. They're gonna tell everyone we're a bunch of losers who are just hating because we don't know how to play the game. We're a bunch of card game hating socialists. They're gonna try everything they can to discredit us so they can protect that game that they're so invested in. And it feels like that's what we've been seeing all month with Occupy Wall Street. And you might be thinking to yourself, my analogy is incomplete because those card games also have a lookout who's there to make sure the cops aren't coming to shut the game down. And they usually have some muscle who's there to intimidate us from messing up the game. And you'd be right, but that's how this version of the game is different. In this version of the game, the hustlers don't need lookouts because the cops don't want to shut down the game. In this version of the game, the cops are the muscle who are there to intimidate us from shutting down the game. And that's not to say I think every police officer is a bad guy. I suspect that many rank-and-file officers are sympathetic to this cause. But the police, as an institution, their function in this game has been to step in and quiet us down whenever we shout at the top of our lungs that we think this whole game is rigged. So like I said at the beginning, I think there is a lot of work yet to be done, and a lot of cards still have to fall just the right way for this to become everything that it could be. But I do think it has incredible potential. I think it's already accomplishing big things. And even if it doesn't accomplish anything else, I think Occupy Wall Street has provided a vital service simply by making it clear who the ringers are and who the muscle is at Wall Street and Washington's three-card Monty table. And I just hope the movement is sharp enough to survive this next stage of the game where they realize they can't shut us down, so they start trying to co-opt us instead and make us a part of the game.
Come on.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Cure to Catastrophe on RadioValencia.fm.
That was the Circle Jerks with Wild in the Streets. That was one of my... Believe it or not, that was my set.
Surprise. That was a really good set.
Thanks. I totally planned it out way in advance.
Continuing along our theme of streets here.
Yeah, we kick things off with Hope Street, which is the title track of a later album from Stiff Little Fingers. Actually, a lot of stuff in that about Jake Burns's depression, his diagnosed, what do you call it? He's got serious chronic depression. But it's good to see him addressing that. That is Hope Street. Then we had the inaugural outing of Bullshit Malware Watch this week.
So good.
Which was cobbled together from scraps and twigs because I didn't finish the pre-production this morning because I can't use a watch.
I love that you're the EP and you're like, I don't know, watch, time?
Time?
Question mark. So good.
Then we heard Across 110th Street by Bobby Womack as... probably made most famous in Jackie Brown, the most realistic of the Quentin Tarantino movies. And then I'd forgotten, actually, that I had this thing called Outing the Ringers at Occupy Wall Street, which really reminds me. Actually, I'll get back to that. And the last song was Wild in the Streets by Circle Jerks. I already said that. So getting back to Occupy Wall Street thing. It's funny. I had to look it up. Occupy Wall Street happened 14 years ago. It was in September 2011. Wait, that's not right. I don't know. Yeah, no, whatever.
You can't look to me for confidence on that because I was mentioning that I'm a subscriber to Adbusters, which of course is a huge proponent of Occupy Wall Street. And I was like, how far back do they have? 7 years? That's as long as I've had a subscription. But they were the...
It took me 7 years after it happened to divest myself from Bank of fucking America. So I knew it had been a while. And I've been on a credit union ever since. I do not look back, and I heartily recommend everyone gets off the big banks that charge you for the monthly privilege of doing nothing. Fuck them. Anyway, it's funny he talks about the insincerity. Like, I forgot what term he uses when he talks about the people who are like obviously building straw man arguments. Because we're seeing that right now with all of the pro-Palestinian stuff. You know, it's like, oh, hey, I'm opposed to genocide. I'm opposed to the murder of children. You're anti-Semitic. Wait, no, that's not at all what I said. I don't want, like, you starving babies. No, that makes you an anti-Semite. Like, that's not really the argument. And we're seeing it. It's 14 years later. We're still seeing the exact same shit. Because the world has gotten worse, not better.
When you say things or we hear things like straw man arguments or... slippery slopes when we talk about morality and decisions we make, it occurs to me that, you know, we're a society who's walking around without any basic training or consideration for ethics. It shows so terrible. Like, what a bad fucking look.
Yeah. Oh, our failure to pay for, you know, to invest in education is paying dividends to the boneheads in charge, because we have an uneducated populace that's incapable of critical thinking.
So Maldoror and I had this just this moment off air when we just got our, you know, we got our little chicken tinga from across the street from El Carajo, which we love, which if you're in the Mission, please stop by. They're delicious. And so anyway, but their sauces, they come in much smaller containers now.
Yeah, they're just like half the size.
But sad. Like, these are sad. These are like specimen cups, Maldoror. They're so small. And I made the comment off air. I said, look, communism. And then I was like, ho, ho, ho. No, wait. That's private equity.
Yes, I think they're responsible to their shareholders now, not the public.
Yes, but we're the stakeholders.
And that is why DC sucks, because you're getting creative decisions made by fucking people in suits who care about the bottom line, not the creative decisions that are actually going to make good movies. Sorry, a little throwback to my bitching about Superman.
You mean another terrific element of your debut segment called Bullshit Maldoror Watch This Week?
Yeah.
Such a welcome addition.
I also watched...
the segment's over.
No Country for Old Men, but I can't...
Oh, that's so good.
It's really good. You know what makes that, though, is Roger Deakins' cinematography. He's amazing. Like, he's won, like, six Oscars.
Ekphrasis.
Yeah, anyway, Roger Deakins is a legendary cinematographer. He's probably the most famous. Anyway, his... like shots of the desert that open that just set the tone for the whole movie of being just, this is the pace we're going at.
The establishing shots the pace, though, you're right. The tempo is
incredible. It's weird. Best Coen Brothers movies I've seen in forever. And I'm surprised it's taken me this long to watch it. I think it's 2007. So
we used to have their box set. I believe their first one, what was it called? Cold Blood, Simple Blood, Blood Simple.
Blood Simple.
I was going to say, to my mind, even though that was their first and a little bit less developed, that's going to be one of my favorites.
Yeah. Same with Wes Anderson, who I've grown to hate. His first movie, Bottle Rocket, is actually really good. Very small movie.
Segment's over.
Okay. I can start the music back up again. It'll take me a second to find
it. It's okay. This is going to be a good segment once you sit down and start and finish producing it. Yes.
And then make the 60-second music bed.
Your insights are terrific.
12 minutes long.
Just corral them. Yes.
You know what's weird about No Country for Old Men
is
two of the main characters die off screen. And it's like it's just strange that you've invested so much in, like, this is the protagonist of the movie, and then, like, they're dead in the hotel room.
There's going to be a narrative reason for that.
No. I don't think there.
You think it was just efficient storytelling? They just had to.
It's certainly cheaper that way. I'm curious.
I feel like it's like Chekhov, where most of the. Seriously, in a Chekhov play, most of the action happens off stage.
I am curious what. Because I've never read the Cormac McCarthy source material, and this is supposed to be pretty accurate to the material. I'm curious how that's handled in his book. I can believe that the female lead dies off screen, but I'm surprised the male lead dies off screen.
If we're talking about adaptations, this is a bit of a stretch, but you did play something from Jackie Brown.
Yeah.
Which is
Cross 110th Street by Bobby Womack.
Based on an Elmore Leonard novel. And Elmore Leonard has the New Yorker in the July issue has done a terrific look back at his writing and his contributions to Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
His first three records,
saying, very good read.
Out of Sight, Jackie Brown, and another
Get
one.
Get Shorty, probably.
Get Shorty, yeah. All three great adaptations.
The article is biographical. It's illustrative. It's just out in the July issue of the New Yorker. If you're interested in that, which I love that we publicize sort of movies and reading on the radio.
Well, I was going to call the segment Bullshit Pop Culture that Maldor has interacted with this week. I may still. I don't know.
Oh. Ever evolving.
Who the fuck knows? But also, the intro montage is definitely a work in progress.
Yeah, I didn't mean to. I'm so sorry I spoke over it. But it was so delightful. It was like, we're looking for a way to make a living of this art. I was like, it's you.
I need a job. I need a good job.
Yeah. Not so bad. Hey, guys, thanks for being with us.
That's from Sid and Nancy, by the way.
On this Sunday and every Sunday that we can make it in the studio to be with you live. We're so happy to be with you, which... And it might be our last Sunday Streets. This is just another opportunity to make sure that we don't have to... Of your eyes rolling back in your head.
I can see the fucking back of my skull.
Ekphrasis. Go ahead and make a donation if you feel like it on RadioValencia.fm. Find the PayPal button. Yes, we are associated with the SF Indie Fest, so don't be concerned when you make that donation. You know it's going to a good house. And
it is tax deductible.
Yes, tax deductible. 501-3C.
Okay. This is Shay's last set, which I better play so that we have time to
you
do it.
You look so excited about it. Yeah! I misspelled this guy's last name. It's not Dan Van Roek. It was auto-correct. But it's Sunday Street by Dan Van Roek.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And if you're out at Sunday Streets and listening to us on your headphones, whatever they call that, earbuds, swing on by. We're on 22nd Street.
This next set, let's just call it Sad Streets. The Kinks are gonna clean it up in the end. But for the meantime,
playing more Kinks.
Enjoy the Sad Streets here on RadioValencia.fm.
Not a nickel, not a penny to my name. I'm the king of Tap City and I'm out of the game. A nickel up, a nickel down, another nickel gone. Ain't got a nickel left to carry me on. If I ever get back on my feet, I'll move from Saturday Alley up to Sunday Street. That makes me seven all the time. I'm gonna be living on chicken and wine. I want caviar, four star, and Johnny Walker Black. Six pretty women in my gold Cadillac. Gonna move where the living is sweet. From Saturday Alley up to Sunday Street. Feeling well from drinking King Kong liquor and cheap Muscatel, but a little taste of bourbon and breakfast in bed. $6 million can raise the dead. Just me and the other elite, raising high class hell up on Sunday Street. Says I'm talking out of my head, but nobody bad mouths a man with the bread. All the whores ought to drop their drawers and say, there goes the man above Santa Claus. Pays to be discreet when you're talking to the king of Sunday Street. Do it now. Not a penny to my name. I'm the king of Tap City and I'm out of the game. A nickel up, a nickel down, another nickel gone. Ain't got a nickel left to count me on. Ever get back on my feet, I move from Saturday Alley up to Sunday Street now.
From the Bay in Maldoror, putting screen doors on local submarines since 2019.
To speak once more, I showed you the answer. loving, but you don't love me. I want to be free. Baby, you've hurt me.
it's in your head, you want to get it placed. So you take it down to a music man just to see what he will say. He says, I hate the tune, I hate the words, I tell you what I do. I'll sign you up and take it round the street and I'll see if it makes a grade. And you might even hear it play on the rock and roll hip parade. Daytime, nighttime, every week, you can hear that heavy beat. Now the world is shaking from the top to the feet. Daytime, nighttime, every day, you can hear that music play. Every rhythm,
you're listening to The Care to Catastrophe on RadioValencia.fm, where we heard There Again from the Kinks. That was Denmark Street, lifting us out of the dirgy aspect of the Sad Street segment. Before that, we heard Sullivan Street by the Counting Crows, which Maldoror and I will review. We also heard from the, what did you call it, the poor man's Amy Winehouse.
Very poor man's Amy Winehouse.
Duffy. That was Warwick Avenue. Not a street, but an avenue. Before that, we heard from Dave Van Ronk. What a great song from 1976.
I actually like that one.
Sunday Street.
And appropriate to our general theme.
A note about Dave Van Ronk, because I didn't know about him. I looked him up after I heard the song, and I was like, this song is very good. He was...
Yeah, right there?
Yeah, I'm going to pull him out of the
Mic? I'm happy to do so.
He was a Greenwich Village guy, like on the scene in the 60s. And
so
he was
pals with Bob Dylan?
Nicknamed the mayor of McDougal Street.
Okay.
And if you look at his Wikipedia, they called him avuncular, which would have been a terrific SAT word of the day.
Yeah, it would.
It means like an uncle.
Avuncular,
yes.
Well, that's not what I thought it meant.
That is what it means, in fact. Anyway, I was super happy to introduce Dave Van Ronk to that set, Sad Streets, that I liked. Because I love an avenue. I love I had one of my best friends for a long time lived on Kirkham Street, right off of 24th. And he had one of these back alleyways, you know, the unpaved sort of halfway streets.
Yeah.
And it was the best thing to kind of wander down that halfway street when you're drunk and the fog had rolled in and everybody's poppies are blooming on the side of the street. It was just like different kind of streets.
So, like, where the Hells Angels clubhouse is, it's like a half
okay,
it's
well,
a
what,
dead-end alley. It's in the dog patch.
We already did the didn't we already do Dead End Street? That was also the Kinks.
I was going to do Dead End of the Street, but I didn't have the version I like. I just had the Flying Burrito Brothers. Hey, speaking of SAT words of the week, we want to do a really shitty one?
Do you want to? What makes it shitty?
It's time for the bad-edited SAT word of the week.
It wasn't that well-produced ish.
Super fucking pro.
Intro, or at least produced.
Incredibly
finished.
Yeah, terrific quality content here.
It clips a little. Whatever. I was going to do Bad Religion SAT Word of the Week, but only because I want to play the next song, which doesn't have any good words in it. The best word in it is destitute.
Rhymes with prostitute.
Meaning without the basic necessities of life, which does, in fact, fit together with the what the song's about.
Wait, did you just give us the answer to the word of the day?
Yeah. Did you need to guess what destitute
meant? No, but the game is, you
metal
just, like,
drawer?
Took away the game.
Okay, I'm sorry. Would you like to find destitute?
No, not anymore. It's amazing how you can steal such joy from the simplest things. What? I mean...
Stay tuned for a rerun of Cheap Hooch. I'm sorry, an encore presentation to Cheap Hooch. They will not be into the studio today. And then Rocker Smooth will be in live at 6 for The Balcony. And he's got a couple guests who will not be appearing on mic because whatever. The song, the lyric destitute, appears in the Bad Religion song, A Street Kid Named Desire, from the New Maps. No, it's not from that one. It's a New America album.
God, we're so well pre-planned.
They
here.
Really need to come out with a new record so I can do more Bad Religion SAT words of the week. But
is this going to take us out of the show, or will we be back say good afternoon?
If you're quiet, we can get out. This is The Curated Catastrophe
on RadioValencia.fm.
shades of blue, and there's no voice of reason inside you when you search.
You wanted to come back?
I did want to come back and let people know that they can help make sure that this is not our last Sunday Streets in the studio by making a donation on RadioValencia.fm. Just hit that PayPal button. Any amount helps.
Stay tuned for Chibuch.
Stay tuned. RadioValencia.fm.
Send her a motherfucker!